Tune in to the Short Stuff episode of Stuff You Should Know on Routines, brought to you by Colgate Total Plaque Pro Release Toothpaste. By staying ahead of plaque bacteria, you can stay ahead of oral health problems like early gum disease, bad breath, cavities, and tooth decay. Colgate Total Plaque Pro Release is Colgate's new breakthrough in preventative technology against these oral health problems. With daily brushing, it dissolves and lifts away plaque for 2 times less gum-harming plaque versus regular fluoride toothpaste after 6 months of daily use. Be dentist ready and shop Colgate Total Plaque Pro Release at a retailer near you.
This is Action and Ambition, the show that takes you all over the world to share interviews with the most successful and relevant people on the planet. Hear their backstory, get the most important lessons they've learned on their road to success, and hear exclusive tips on how to implement their success in your own life. Action and Ambition is brought to you by Entrepreneur Magazine and your host, Andrew Metal.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Action and Ambition Podcast. This is your host, Dominique Linton, and I have another amazing guest with me today, Matthew Fornaro. Matthew Fornaro has been a business law attorney serving South Florida since 2003. Prior to starting his own law firm, he was an attorney at two prestigious Am Law 200 law firms focusing on civil litigation. Matthew practices complex commercial litigation, including contract disputes. Matthew, a member of the Florida Bar and District of Columbia Bar, also practices construction law, intellectual property law, homeowner and condominium association representation, and drafts and revises of business documents, including the formation of business organizations. Without further ado, Matthew, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining.
All right. Good afternoon, Dominique. Thanks for having me.
All right. With that intro, I mean, could you actually add on and, you know, start us off by letting us know who you are in your own words, what you do, and where you're located?
Sure. I'm Matthew Fornaro. I'm a business law attorney. I've been an attorney for 20 years. I'm located in South Florida in Broward County in Coral Springs. And I represent small and medium-sized businesses and their various legal needs. About 90% of what I do is litigation. So when they have to go to court, I help them out. And 10% is transactional. So I draft and review their various documents.
Gotcha. And I, you know, when you decided to get your own or create your own law firm, how did you know, you know, you were ready and that you knew it was time to start your own?
Well, I worked for two pretty large law firms previously, and I had the opportunity to work for a even larger law firm around 2015. And I knew that, you know, both I could go there and do whatever, kind of continue what I've been doing, or I could do something different. Mm-hmm. The only, you know, so I decided that I would, you know, take the leap and start my own law firm because I always wanted to be my own boss, the old American dream. But at the same time, too, I wanted to be able to use my skills to help small and medium-sized businesses, particularly out in the suburbs where I'm located. But I obviously, I do work elsewhere. But, you know, they were kind of underserved from my perspective in that in order to get, like, quality legal business law representation, they would have to go to like the big city or hire a big firm. So I wanted to come in and try to fill that void that I saw.
Gotcha. And being the entrepreneur that you are, what was the difference in terms of fulfillment when you did start your own firm and was leading, you know, leading your own type of marketing, engagement, all the, you know, all the stuff that wraps around that?
Well, there's no safety net. You know, every 2 weeks, a paycheck doesn't show up in my bank account automatically. Either I get up and I work or I don't get any money. So there's no safety net. And, you know, all the risk is mine, but all the rewards are mine as well.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I mean, it sounds, I mean, with the entrepreneur lifestyle, it's really all about starting yourself, getting yourself going, and people don't realize how hard that actually is. and but also how fulfilling it is when you are able to, you know, accomplish the goals that you set, because they are literally, you know, your own doing. And I guess, you know, with that transition to the entrepreneur world, what are some tips and advice you have for those that are seeking to, you know, go out on their own and spread their wings?
You got to have a plan in place. Obviously, one of the big things I always do with my clients or whatever, when it's like a new business or starting out, is you got to have like an actual written business plan that holds you accountable yourself, accountable to yourself as far as what your goals are, what your limitations are, and your plan to go forward and do things. So that's one of the main things. You got to have a written plan. Then obviously you got to have the right resources, not just money and capital, but you have to have professionals who you can call on to assist you, because you can't do it all yourself as much as you want to. So you have to have like an accountant, you have to have an attorney, you have to have a banker. And those are all people who you need regardless of what your business is or how big or how small your business is or what you're doing. You have to have professionals that you work with whose main job is to look out for you and make sure that you succeed.
Having the right people in your corner, and, you know, transitioning to what the services that you provide or the type of you know, practices that you provide, what for the listeners out there, what does commercial litigation entail?
Commercial litigation is like litigation between people or businesses and other people and other businesses that essentially comes down to breach of contracts, where you have a contract where some side didn't live up to it and now you gotta go to court to resolve it. Money disputes, you did work for someone or performed services or provided goods and you didn't get paid for it. And then other things like statutory enforcement and things of that nature. It's essentially civil litigation regarding things that aren't things like personal injury or slip and fall or medical malpractice. It's all the stuff that businesses are involved in when they're involved in civil litigation.
And, you know, I did want to ask you about, you did have an article, The Era of Blaming COVID for Your Business Struggles is Over. Take Control Today. What drew you to make a statement on this topic?
It's interesting because I deal with, I go to court a lot and in this era through Zoom a lot. And I see a lot of attorneys trying to make excuses or do things of why things weren't done or why things timely weren't done or why things are, and they're still blaming COVID. And then, I watch the news or I read on the internet or whatever, people are still trying to say, well, COVID hit me pretty hard, or we gotta, we're 3 years past when COVID first affected us, and we're probably a year and a half past where you were allowed to like go out and do things and be a human again. So, I wanted to put, I send out articles and stuff every week or so to put it on my website, and I send it out to people on my email list. I wanted to put something out there that says, look, it's time to take responsibility again. Just automatically blaming stuff on COVID is over, and you want to get back to normalcy and you want to get back to regularness. One of the first things you have to do is eliminate saying, well, I would have done it, but COVID, did whatever. I mean, obviously, COVID is a problem that we still have to deal with from a health perspective and obviously things like that. But from a business perspective, I mean, that ship has sailed. It's time to move on. So that's what my article is basically about.
And what are some of the key, like, points that people need to examine about their businesses and strategies?
As far as your businesses go, I mean, one of the main things, you got to make sure your foundation is secure before you do anything. So if you have a business, you got to make sure that if you're a corporation, you have like articles of incorporation. And if you're a LLC, you got to make sure you have an operating agreement. And anything you do, if you provide services or sell goods or whatever, you have to have a contract that goes with it. You can't just do it for doing its sake. So one of the base things you need to do is have your documents in order before you do anything else, because it's not a matter of if something happens, it's when something happens. And if you don't have those documents in place, you're kind of at the mercy of what happens, and sometimes what happens isn't good, and it could have been avoided if you had your documents in place to begin with.
Yeah, being prepared and just having things organized is makes a big difference, huh?
Yes.
Gotcha. And there was another one that I thought was very interesting because I already liked the title of it, but it was Why You Should Never Go Into Business with Friends. And I thought you had a lot of great points here, especially with the obvious fact that emotions can interfere. And why is it that doing any type of business with people close to you is such a like a taboo?
Well, it's a line that ideally shouldn't be crossed. Because if you're friends with someone, you're obviously, you want to maintain that friendship and not complicate it. Going into business with a friend is probably the most complicating thing you can do to a friendship that can affect it in ways that you can't even envision. So a lot of cases that I deal with, a lot of clients I deal with, everyone wants to succeed initially. Everyone plans to be successful. When people go into business together, when friends go into business together, they always think it's going to be great and whatever. And sometimes it doesn't turn out that way. And then now you have a business problem that's crossing the line into affecting your friendship as well. And then you have a friendship problem. So, keep your friends as your friends. And keep your business as your business and don't intermix them. Obviously, you can be friendly with people you do business with, but don't find your childhood best friend and go open up like a franchise or something with them, because if something goes wrong, they're not going to be your best friend anymore. And that's the point of that article, is kind of, a lot of people have great ideas, a lot of people want to do things, but sometimes you just got to pass because it's better to maintain the friendship than it is to do the business. You can always find people to do business with. I mean, there's always people who want to finance things, or people want to invest things, or people want to put their time in. But to find your best friend is much harder to replace.
That's very true. That's very true. And especially with I know there's a piece in there that said like if you lack expertise, that could also create another divide because you both have this great idea and but neither of you actually have the experience or the right tools or just knowledge to really complete that idea. And why is that something that can be so, I guess you could say, negative, in terms of what if you did figure out a solution together or like learn together? Would that help or would that still just not be feasible?
I mean, it could work, but I would say most likely it's not going to be feasible. I mean, if you lack expertise, you need to go get the expertise. You can't just have your friend read something or watch a YouTube video, or you read something and watch a YouTube video, and then all of a sudden you're the expert. And that goes part of the business relationship. If you were in business with someone else who wasn't your friend, you want to be like, hey, let's watch a YouTube video and let's learn how to do X, Y, or Z. You'd be like, let's bring in an accountant, or let's bring in a, consultant, or whatever it is we need. You'd want to lean on your friend to go do whatever, or ask your friend's wife to do whatever, your friend's husband to do whatever. So that's why, you want to keep it professional. Your business is not a hobby, it's your business. So that's why you want to keep it non-social and committed to being separate from, your fun time, your social time, your friend time.
And what about on the flip side? Say you're doing business with just a regular business partner, but then you end up, start becoming friends. Is that something where inside, to create like a boundary so you don't become like too close of friends? Or is that.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta make sure that you realize, especially when you're a business partner first, then become friends. I mean, obviously, you want to be friendly with everyone you're in business with, but not necessarily friends. But if you become friends, you always got to remember that the primary thing that brought you together and the underlying basis of the relationship is the business. And once you cross that line, then you're gonna at some point have a problem. So you want to make sure that you're friendly, and you always understand that your business partners or business investors, whatever it is, first, then friends, and always never forget that line and never cross that line because you're going to have problems if you do.
Yeah. Do the same ideas and views apply to also doing family with business or business with family?
Yes, maybe even more
Yeah,
so
even
because
more so.
you already have built in the closer connection with your family. A lot of cases I see, a lot of clients I see, whatever, is family businesses that just blow apart or things happen, and it's like everyone has the best of intentions and wants to do things, but the way that it turns out, it could be devastating. At least with a friend, it's just one person or whatever. With a family, it's your entire group where, you're at odds with your brother, your sister, your mom, or your dad, or whatever, and then family's got to take sides and do whatever. You create a whole dynamic and a whole issue with your entire family by having a problem with one family member.
Yeah, that sounds rough.
Yeah,
Oh,
so
man.
I would, advise against business with family. It's good intentions, but it doesn't turn out well much of the time.
Yeah. Being in this field for so long and seeing all the things that you've seen and been a part of, what's something you wish you knew before that you now know?
From a law practice standpoint, expect the unexpected. You try to formulate what you think would be conclusions or outcomes of things, and sometimes it turns out completely different than you thought. So I'd want to tell myself or whatever to be prepared for the unexpected and don't think that things are going to go the way that they should go, despite you trying the best that you can do.
Yeah, that's, I mean, expecting the unexpected is definitely vital. 'Cause anything could go wrong at any time. Life is so crazy. It throws so many different things at you when you least expect it to. So yeah, thank you for mentioning that. And we are running low on time. I do have two to three last questions for you.
Sure.
The first one is, what's on the horizon that you're looking forward to next, whether personal or business?
What's on the horizon for business is to continue to grow my revenue each year, which luckily I've done 7 years in a row, despite COVID, and that goes back to the whole
Yeah.
don't blame COVID thing. So I want to keep that up. And as far as personally, I want to, speaking of COVID, I have a We had a trip to Europe planned, my family and I, that we had to cancel because of COVID, that we eventually want to pick back up on and take. It should be a fun time.
Oh yeah, nice. Where specifically, if you don't mind me asking?
It's a 10-day tour of Europe where you fly into Italy, and then you go around Italy, you take a train, you go to Switzerland, France, one other country, I forget, and then you wind up in London, England.
Oh wow, that
It's like a
sounds
whole
amazing.
10-day itinerary. I had it all booked and everything, and then March 2020 hit. So
Oh man.
now I got to reset it. I'm ready to finally do it.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for y'all when you get to actually get that replanned and rescheduled, but that's awesome. And my next question is what other advice and tips do you have for aspiring entrepreneurs out there who are just either, stuck or looking for ways to really get their businesses off the ground?
Yeah, like I said, have a plan, believe in yourself, have professionals help you. And there's, people regarding business and stuff. I mean, you can always reach out to other business owners and not necessarily, you don't necessarily need a mentor, but you can have more senior people who've been in business longer than you. You can always reach out to them and ask them what they did right and what they did wrong and what their ideas are and what their concerns are. And most people are nice and they'll help you and they'll do whatever. Like for me, I know being an attorney in the legal field, I know I can reach out to other attorneys and ask them, not just legal questions, but people who have their own firms or whatever. I can ask them business questions and business development questions, and they're always willing to help out. And if they don't help out that much, I just ask someone else who does. And
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things you have to understand as an entrepreneur, as a business person, is that even though it's you and you're the bottom line or whatever, you're not by yourself. You can call in assistance, you can call in people to help you.
Yeah. Okay. No, thank you for sharing that. That's knowing how to ask for help and knowing who to ask for help, I feel is it weighs on people because I know everyone wants to do things themselves, but it's necessary, very necessary. And yeah, my last question is, could you actually close the show by letting the people know where they can find you and your firm online and any social media handles that you have?
Sure. I'm all over the internet. I have my own YouTube channel with a lot of videos on it. I have, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, all that stuff. All you have to do is go to Fornaro Legal, which is Fornaro Legal.com. And all the stuff is there on my website. My videos are on my website that you've seen. My articles are on my website. And they're all posted on social media too, so you can connect there. And you can call me anytime you want. I answer the phone. I'll be nice to you, I promise. And my number is 954-324-3651.
Awesome. Matthew, thank you for joining. It's been a pleasure getting to know more about you and your practice and also just, your insight in general in today's world and in your field.
All right. Well, thank you, Dominic. Thank you for having me. It was a good time.
Yeah, of course, of course. And for those of you tuning in to another episode of Action and Ambition, this is Matthew Fornaro and Fornaro Legal signing off with Dom Linton. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Action and Ambition with your host, Andrew Metal. Please leave a review and subscribe and go to andrewmetal.com for all the exclusive lessons, behind-the-scenes footage, and video content of the show. Follow us on Facebook and YouTube at Action and Ambition, and we'll see you on the next episode.